If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Hey, everybody. This is the Matrix Success Network podcast, and I'm Craig, the VP of International. Delighted to be here with Brian Damaso, the number one coach in the world. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Craig? Good to see you.
Delighted to be with you. Today, we get to talk about the knowing-doing gap, which is incredibly important. It's one of my favorite topics. It's probably the one that's been most transformative for me, and I know that we get that feedback a lot, like particularly in our Matrix Mindset Academy, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah, the knowing-doing gap is really the thing that I find, well, that's where I was stuck too. You know, once I freed up the understanding of the difference between having something in the conscious mind versus getting into the subconscious mind, which drives the body, that's the gap, right? So it's having information in the conscious mind, but understanding how to get it into the subconscious, that really helps people out, really connects the dots, you know?
You know, we were chatting earlier, as you know, I'm a Christian, and I was reading in the New Testament in Romans in the Bible, and Paul, who's the Apostle Paul, is talking, and he's saying, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. How pitiful. And so he's talking about this change of mindset that the new believers have to have. And for me as well, I'm constantly trying to change my mindset, realignment with where I want to go, and making sure that my actions follow that. And interesting that the biblical principles in the early Christians, moving from this Jewish mindset to a new Christian mindset, had the same sort of struggle of taking your old mindset and renewing their mind, as they say, as we say, as I say in the Bible. And I love that there's this synergy between these principles and this concept of the knowing-doing gap. Hey, so let's focus on a key word, a really important word that you speak about a lot, is about paradigm. Mm. Tell us about paradigm and its relationship with what we do and what we don't do.
Sure, that's a good topic to chat about. So a paradigm, as you know, Craig, from us working together, is a set of mental programs stored in the subconscious mind. And these subconscious programs control almost all of our habitual behavior. So I'll say that again, because I know it's kind of a mouthful. So a paradigm, everybody has a paradigm. It's neither good nor bad. And a program is paradigm is basically a set of mental programs stored in the subconscious mind that control all of our habitual behavior. So that's why this is so important. So that, again, the knowing-doing gap is really understanding that whole relationship between all of these programs that we have stored in the subconscious mind from age 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 on, versus what we now have in the conscious mind, which is what we wish for, what we want to do. We want to succeed. We want to be healthy. We want to find a relationship. And again, we're not taught this stuff in school. This is the biggest reason why we're driving forward to philanthropy, so we can get this stuff into this, you know, into the schools, hopefully, but at least out there on the internet, you know, at a very young age, so we can really start to move the chains in education.
I'm delighted you brought that up. You know, my 27 years in education, whether it's in business training and education and training and development, or whether it's actually in schools and working with community, the people that I work with and do programs with in community, we talk about traditional schooling and the way that it has not set up people for success, and how we really need to, as John Maxwell says, lift the lid on people, lift the lid on their opportunity and their potential. So just talk to us about that change in those principles that you're trying to implement in schooling now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the stuff that we teach, Craig, it might be Harvard level information, but we teach it at a fifth grade level. You don't have to be a college professor to understand the sciences of achievement and the physics behind how the mind and body work. We can explain this from an acorn growing into an oak tree, right? We have examples of all these principles. And the reason why it's important to get this stuff to people at an early age is because the older somebody is, the more ingrained these paradigms become. The more we see, given a good example, if you know, the more we see in our environment people going to work, you know, for 40 years and then trying to retire, the more we see that stuff, the more that idea gets programmed into our minds that that's the way you earn money. That's just one example. And so unless you're born, you know, Warren Buffett's son or daughter or something. Most of us are just kind of in a normal environment, normal to probably below average, I would say. I grew up, you know, with a single mom in an apartment, not a lot of income, you know, what I would call American poor, you know. So my environment was that. So it really takes a paradigm shift or a mentor or something to be a pattern interrupt. This is why you see generation after generation of welfare recipients or generation after generation of very wealthy people, because of this environmental programming. So the beautiful part is, well, it's a double-edged sword. Our environment is more powerful than heredity as far as this programming goes, and it takes a lot to change that. But the beautiful part is once we understand this, we can introduce new material and we can actually rewire the subconscious mind. So we can rewire the mechanism that's actually causing our body to take action. And again, the sooner the better. So introducing this stuff at the early ages is far better than introducing it like myself at age 43. And the evidence would be there. If you you know my daughter, Madison, she's 22 years old. She's got 5 revenue streams. She's a fitness model. I mean, healthy, wealthy, spiritual, got a good relationship. And that's not an accident, right? I was talking to her about this material since she was 10 years old. So she didn't have a lot of pre-programmed paradigms from her teachers, from schooling, from her parents. And listen, I absolutely respect and love teachers. They're working over here in America in a broken system, right? I mean, they're working with information that really teaches you to be a teacher, right? A little bit of math, a little bit of history, a little bit of English. That's preparing somebody to be an educator. So we're not, at an early age, we're not really allowing kids to identify or identifying in them what they might really be excelling at. Maybe it's music, maybe it's acting, right? Maybe it's a doctor. I mean, who knows? So that's really our goal, is to get this, or that's why our goal is to get this at a much younger level into the mainstream education.
Okay, so start young, but you can start older, such as myself, taking on board these principles and transforming a mindset. You talk about NPAs and PAs.
Mm-hmm.
Talk more a bit about that so we can get really concrete for people who maybe haven't encountered this material before, NPAs and PAs.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we identify non-productive activities and productive activities. So anybody can do this at any time. You don't have to be in one of our coaching programs. It's basically, if you just take a look at an average day of your life, what you do when you wake up in the morning, your whole routine, just write it all down. What time you get up, what do? Do you make coffee, shower, music, gym? Or do you get up at the last possible minute, hit snooze 3 or 4 times, race out the door with a crappy meal, no nutrition, right? So just write everything down. And whether you're an employee or you have your own business, go through the day, write it down. And when you get done working, what does that look like too? Do you come home? Do you, you know, scroll on Facebook for an hour? Are you watching 3 hours of TV, right? So it's very, very easy when you highlight, and I suggest everybody here listening do this. Go through a typical day and just write down what you did yesterday, or maybe on a work day instead of a weekend. And you'll see right away what the non-productive activities are. It's that simple. And then all we got to do, if you want to be successful, or I shouldn't say that, if you want to be more successful, if your results are not what you want, right? We're not here to put our goals in other people's minds, but if you look at your results, if we look at our results and we don't like them, then it is impossible to outperform your paradigm. You can't outperform your subconscious programming. It's impossible, but you can upgrade it. Craig, I like to say that your paradigm is much like an operating system in your body, in your mind, like an operating system in a computer. And this computer right here has a finite set of instructions. It can't outperform itself, but we can upgrade the software. Now, this is literally what we're doing when we introduce new information and we teach people how to shift a paradigm. And that's really what we work with now. Unfortunately, again, this stuff is not taught in schools. It's not rocket science. It's just not part of the current curriculum, which is why so many people, the evidence shows, right? How many kids, I think it's like 70% go into college undeclared. Undeclared means not deciding.
Right.
So evidence would say that something's broken. And then in America, I don't know what it is like in Indonesia, but in America, about 93% of people get to retirement and they can't retire. They have to get second jobs. Not because they want to, because they have to. So that tells me, the evidence says that we're not teaching people decision, self-image, and direction at early ages.
I love that you mentioned that about lack of clarity going forward. I think it's okay for people to not be sure and not have that pressure to always know what's going to happen tomorrow or where they're headed tomorrow, because the world is full of opportunities, you know.
Sure.
But kids, students, young people should be able to identify, what am I passionate about? Mm. Where do I want to make a difference? You know, what's my skill set that I know that I can double down on and get some great results for me and for the other people around me, like a worthy goal that's got to serve not only me, but other people around me too. I love that you mentioned that. It's worth people keeping in their minds, what are we doing as mums and dads with our children to give them opportunity to discover those things? My son, we live here in Indonesia, and he gets to do a bit of modeling. He's tall, he's a good looking guy. We're from New Zealand, he has a different look than everyone else here. And he loves that idea of modeling. But I was talking to him last night, he's saying, "Dad, I ain't gonna stay beautiful forever." You know, and I'm sure he will, because he's a beautiful young man. But at the age of 17, he's thinking, I want to learn the business of modeling. I want to learn how these fashion shows get put on. I want to learn how the marketing side happens, because as I move older, I want to expand my capacity so that then I have more opportunity and greater impact for him. I love that he's thinking that, and it's not to blow my own horn too much, but I think that he listens to our podcasts. He listens to our discussions. He's heard me doing calls with people. And he's listens to our, you know, your Facebook lives that you do every day with our community, the Matrix Mindset Academy. So he hears that going on. I'm sure these seeds are being sown, which expands his thinking.
Yeah, I do want to clarify one thing, and I'm glad you brought this up. I'm not suggesting that people can't change their minds. Mm. College kids. What I taught my daughter, I never planted a seed of what she should do. I just said, pick something and then pursue it with passion. Because one door leads to the next. And my own career would be the same thing. And I went from an engineer to an architect to a builder, right, to an entrepreneur. And one road leads to the next. Now we do consulting with Bob all over the world, Bob Proctor. And all I ever did is pursued my network marketing company. That's what happened 5 years ago. I found that side hustle, right? And I pursued that. And one door led to the next. So what my advice to anybody that's going to college would be to pick what you think you're most passionate about and then pursue it with blind passion. What you'll find is it's either the right thing or it opens another door. But what I'm suggesting, Craig, is not to go into college undeclared. Mm. We want to teach kids to pick something, try it, get some feedback. If that's not it, adjust, move forward, try something else, make decisions. Make clear decisions. They spend 4 years in college, most of them just kind of screwing around because there's nothing in the subconscious mind they're driving towards. They don't say, well, I'm starting my own company, so I'm going to go to school for business. Or even, I want to start my own business, but I want to get a law degree behind that. Does that make sense? So I want to be clear that it's not like you have to pick something and stay with it for life, because I'm still starting companies and I haven't even found my biggest idea yet, you know?
Right. You got to have that one goal you're moving towards, which allows you, if you're moving forward, pursuing something, you actually have momentum, which allows you to change course. If you have no momentum, if you're not pursuing something, it's very hard to change course, very hard to gain traction in another area which may be passionate for your new discovery. Momentum is incredibly important.
Yes, sir, it is.
Hey, you want to, you know, I hear Gary Vaynerchuk talk about patience, and one of the other P's that you talk about is persistence and the power of persistence and really owning the power of your why. So share a little bit about persistence for us.
Sure. Persistence can be superficial, it can be really deep. It depends where you want to go. But persistence, if we want to go deep, has to do with the perpetual law of the transmutation of energy. It's energy flow. And the easiest way to explain this is when you are pursuing something, you human beings are conduits for creation. Right? When I was an architect, I could take somebody's thought images or the thought ideas and turn them into a house. Well, that's thought energy into a thing, right? Thoughts become things. And when I do something like that, when we did take on a house contract, I would be persistent because I had a contract, right? I wouldn't just sporadically show up for the job and maybe take 6 months off. It's a really good example. When you have a goal, and that's a real, like it's a good example, building a house, you got to persistently show up every single day until the project's done. Right now, persistence in our own life is very important, because if we don't make a decision and choose something and then persist and pursue it every day, it's like turning a light switch on and off, right, in a room, or turning it off and expecting it to be light. Human beings, like I said, we're constantly transmuting energy to and through us into the physical form of the things we are creating, even if that's a relationship or our own body or a business. It's all creation. So persistence is fundamental to be in harmony with the law of transmutation of energy. And I don't know if I took it too deep there or not, but that's what it's really all about. So how do we stay persistent though? Especially if we're not seeing results. And the answer to that is really desire and tying it to your why, which is kind of wrapping up your question there. Whatever it is you're trying to pursue, you have to attach it to something bigger. The reason why I'm moving towards becoming a billionaire is so I can be a philanthropist. There's things that I want to do that you can't do on $1 million, $10 million, or $100 million. I want to give back to the world, right? And the only way to do that is to have a huge pile of energy, green paper that we call money, which is just an idea. So persistence has to do with the perpetual transmutation of energy. And the way to stay persistent is to build desire. And desire is going to be directly tied to your why. What are you doing this for? If you don't have a strong why, you might as well just work for somebody else, make a few bucks, make six figures somewhere, and just vacation, and that's it. And that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But Craig, I know you have a real strong why in education, and I know that's why you're pursuing all the revenue streams you're doing. And that's what we encourage people to do, is really dig down, think past yourself, you know, beyond yourself. For the first 43 years, I was only thinking about myself. Once I connected to the fact that I actually had something where I could impact the world, everything changed. My whole world changed. So it's kind of a three-ring circus, right? Persistence is backed by desire, and desire, you got to tie it to the why.
Awesome. Great explanation. Thank you, Brian. Hey, just to wrap up, you've spoken to me many times, and you mentioned it in the Matrix Mindset Academy, about your vision board, the life script that you've written that you rewrite again, and just to link that back to what you talked about before, about maybe reviewing your day, but now going forward, looking forward. Just talk to us, just to finish up, about that concept of review, rethink, and rewrite. Review, rethink, and rewrite, and the power of that process.
Sure, that's a real good, I mean, plan, do, review. I mean, every John Maxwell talks about this. Any thought leader, anybody that's in leadership or any kind of business development, they introduce that type of methodology. It's a you plan, do, review. And the best example that I have ever taught in that, it was taught to me by Bob Proctor, was something he called the $25,000 idea, where you were at the end of each day, you review what you did, right? And was it effective or was it not? Did it work or did it not? If you're in sales, did you make the sales or not? And if not, why? And then you adjust by studying. And I like to use sales because it's a global industry, right? You would adjust by studying. So you would study from somebody that's obviously produced the results you want to get. So I study my sales training mostly from Bob, but also from other books and seminars and stuff like that. So if we're studying every day in our craft, and then we're taking action, and then we're reviewing at the end of the day, that daily process repeated over a period of time is guaranteed to succeed, right? Most people, what I see, they do this. They study, 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 do. They think they're learning and they're not. What they're doing is putting a lot of information in their conscious mind. Now, I've also seen this. I've seen people that do. That's called working really hard, right? Mm. That'd be like somebody in the roofing business, roofing for 40 years up on a roof, but never being the owner of the business, never getting to the next level, never leveraging and expanding. So you can work your ass off for 40 years and not accomplish much. And you can study your ass off for 40 years and not accomplish much. And I know both. It's the combination of the two. It's the spirit, the intellect, and the body, right? Attitude is thoughts, feelings, and actions. So it's the marriage of the mind and the body, the studying and the doing on a daily basis, and then the review, which produces success. And I mean, it guarantees success over a given amount of time.
Mm. It's a powerful process. You made me look at my schedule and my time in the week and what was available for me, because I was thinking, how can I do these things that I'm doing, like interviewing with you internationally, communicating with people back in New Zealand, running family and work and business and contracts here. How do I do this? I just don't have time. But actually on review, found out I have these 17 available hours every single week that I could be investing into the studying, the testing, the trying, the reviewing, and putting this process into place, the think and do and review, the rewriting and planning how I'm going to do it better and what I can add in. Yeah, and this I don't want to say magic, but this this mystery of these creative ideas just pop up. I like to say there's a once in a lifetime idea comes along every single day.
Oh yeah. Just yeah. You're paying attention, right?
Yeah. Hey Brian, just to wrap up, the Matrix Mindset Academy, just so people who are listening to this, they want to get more, they want to get into a community. Tell us about your vision behind that, what we do with the Matrix Mindset Academy. And with the show notes, what I'll do is I'll put a link for people to be able to get a free 30 days in there. Thanks very much for your generosity with that. So tell us about the MMA program.
Sure. That came, the MMA, the Matrix Mindset Academy, really came out of a labor of love or of passion. You know, I've been working with companies and entrepreneurs, CEOs, sales teams, right? And we've been consulting in this, the sciences and the physics behind how wealthy people think and act and operate for many years now. And the unfortunate side is obviously when you have one-on-one mentorship or in corporations, it's, you know, there's a cost, there's an investment. And what happened is I was interviewing people over a period of time and they would want to work with us, but quite simply, we're just in a financial position where it just wasn't going to happen. They didn't have 10,000 or 30,000 or 60,000 to do one-on-one, you know, coaching or that type of mentorship. And I just kind of got frustrated and had a spot in my heart. I was just really, I guess the best way to put it is frustrated that there wasn't something. So I decided to do something about it. I shouldn't say I, me and our team, and you were part of that. We decided, like, how can we have no one left behind? How can we give back this education to the masses? I mean, it costs me six figures a year to train with these people that I'm training with to get this information. So that leaves 99.95% of the people out of the equation, right? Most people don't even make that in a year. So we masterminded for about a period of 6 months, and we came up with this Matrix Mindset Academy, where basically I'm delivering this information, little bite-sized pieces every day on Facebook Live. And since we're doing one-to-many, we can do that. We can now do it. I think it comes out to 67 cents a day. So that's really where that came from, Craig. I don't want to work with hundreds of people or even thousands. I want to work with millions of people. And the only way to do that is to make it affordable, is to get it down to a point where anybody, if you're hungry, even if you're homeless, you can collect cans. And because it's funny, you see homeless people, not funny, but it's bizarre. You see homeless people, but they still have a cell phone. They still have a smartphone, you know? So anybody with a drive and a passion that's hungry, we wanted to make a service that was really, accessible to the globe, to everybody.
Right. And I do recommend anyone listening to this that likes these ideas, that's interested in these ideas, you feel that curiosity, that beating in your heart, that you know that there is more inside of you that needs to come out and you want to pursue that, then you have this opportunity through the Matrix Mindset Academy. Anyone with a smartphone, anyone with an internet connection can jump in, join this Facebook group, and get incredible daily value connecting with Brian. And I think the power of the community, Brian, that you've built, where people are encouraging each other, hearing each other's stories, learning from each other. I think the power of community plus the principles that you teach, incredibly powerful for, as you say, 60 odd cents a day. Just awesome. So really encourage people to click the link in the show notes and join us in the Matrix Mindset Academy. Brian, thanks so much for your time today. Have you got big things planned for the rest of the day?
Yeah, we have a few more sales calls and I'll probably wind it down around 9 or 10 o'clock and maybe watch a movie or something. But yeah, we got some big goals out there. So I like to practice what I preach. And as you know, these businesses are mine. So I enjoy it. It's not like it doesn't feel like work, you know. Right. So I get a few sales calls and stuff too. But Craig, thanks for your time. I know it's like 5 a.m. over there, 5:30 in Indonesia, or even 4:30. And I really appreciate your time on this as well.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want?
We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.